Let's travel now to a small town, a fictitious town, but one that still may sound familiar.
The backdrop of the town that it takes place in, it could be any town in USA, but I just call it La Esquinita, USA. And so the backdrop of it is that the main source of employment was the Thompson Tire Factory. And the Thompson Tire Factory was somewhere else, and it asked the workers, hey, we're moving our operations to this little area where we're going to build homes. It's a company town, you know. And so the workers followed them, and they were primarily Black and Mexican workers. So they moved with the plant. And then a few years after moving there, the plant decides to move overseas because it's cheaper labor. And so it leaves these people like holding the bag, right? And so there was this promise that the Worldmart megastore was going to come and rescue the unemployed. And that never happens. So these people are just left in devastation.
That's Ruben Gonzalez, an actor and writer who wrote and stars in the one-man show La Esquinita, USA. It's made up of a series of separate stories, and Gonzalez plays 11 characters. The show is set in a border town, but Gonzalez says it could be set in any number of small towns across the country.
So you see the trickle-down effect of this move, right, of this company that made this move, and you see how those kinds of things, those promises from big business, or when even if you look at Appalachia, the coal mining takes off, or any kind of big industry, the people are still there. That's where they make their homes, you know. And so what does it do to the community? You know, how does it divide us? How does it, you know, bring up these fears within ourselves, as not just as community members, but internally and in our hearts, right? And so how that affects our relationships to the world, and really to each other and the people that we live around.
Who are some of the characters that are living in this town and worked at the Thompson Tire Factory and that you're playing in the show?
Right. So you get to see the show through the eyes of an 18-year-old kid who's at the peak of his meth high. Because if you go to a lot of these places, there's nothing for the kids to do, so they end up getting high on crystal meth because it's cheap, right? That's the recreation. So Daniel's at the height of his crystal meth high, and it's coming down. So all of his illusions are based in his high. And so as his high leaves, he starts to have to deal with his reality. He is like the third generation of that, what happened. So the company had left like in, you're looking like around 75, around there, you know.
So a while ago.
Yeah, a while ago. But we're seeing the effects of this, how it's, nothing's changed, you know what I mean? And so in this town, what ends up happening is when the tire factory closes down, you start seeing the town start to fracture. The beautiful thing about this show is that it's very universal. It could be a white actor playing all these characters in rural Ohio, you know?
It sounds like these fractures are not necessarily a result of the company leaving and all these people being unemployed. It's just that's sort of what has brought them to the surface.
Yes, yes. You know, when you're put in the reptilian mind, they call, right, is that just survival mode? You get to that point where it's just, it's each man for himself, right? And you see that now, you know, you see that now in this country, the way everything that's, you know, we see happening right now.
Well, it's interesting that you mentioned that this could be any town, USA. Mm-hmm. I mean, this play takes place on a border town, but it could be anywhere. Mm-hmm. And we've heard so much recently about how some of the biggest divisions in this country are not necessarily racial or class or ethnic, but rural versus urban. And it sounds like this play kind of delves into some of those issues.
Well, you think about it, right? People have this idea that, like, when you look at poverty, I read this book, this is just a couple of weeks ago, but it had nothing to do with me writing this show, but Hillbilly Elegy. And the writer talks about, and when I'm reading this book, I'm going, that's La Esquinita, but like in rural Kentucky, you know, or rural Ohio, you know?
Yeah.
And so you see the how similar, but those are the people that have been forgotten. That's why the show is so universal, because if you do it in a white neighborhood and you do it in a Black neighborhood, it's the same stock characters, but they just happen to be of a certain race, you know?
When you're writing a one-man show and you're writing multiple characters, and you said you play like 11 different characters in these 10 stories, what is the process like for, you're clearly writing different people, but you're also writing for yourself, and I would imagine you have to be conscious of not writing everything in the same voice, because while it's all you, it's all not you, because they're all supposed to be different characters.
That's a great question, yeah. And you know what I find is, because I'm a very physical actor, when I physicalize them and their voice comes out, because they all speak differently, they'll have a different voice. Hmm. You know what I mean? They have a different perspective.
It's not so much the words, it's sort of how you recite the words.
Exactly, or how I come to those words. I come through them through a physical place, usually. I know what's happening in the town. I know I have this character, and I know his circumstances. Okay, he's a Black man who's a Vietnam vet who lost his leg, who now cuts hair on his front porch. you know, so I know that. And then so I don't know how this happens, but with all the work and research that I do, there just comes a moment where it just like the tinkle bell goes ding, and then it just comes through me through the physicalizing of these characters.
Have you yourself spent much time in towns like this?
Yeah, I actually lived in Oakland for a good while. And, you know, I've got to visit towns and then just doing a lot of research, you know, and not just research in these urban areas, but places like just what's happened in Appalachia and the coal mining. And you see what's happening right now with all, you know, before the election happened, you know, these promises that coal mining's not going to come back. I look at those neighborhoods like that, too, and researching, and I go, you know, what are the universal things that connect us, you know what I mean, in our struggle, you know? And so that makes the show, I think, just you can connect to more people that way.
What do you hope that people who come to see this show will take away from it?
You know, there's a couple of themes and, you know, and these stories, how they're interwoven. And, you know, and different people have told me they've gotten different things out of it. But I think at the end of the day is that we ourselves are our own worst enemy, you know what I mean? And how we see ourselves, because how we see ourselves is our gift to the other person, you know? And there is no other. There's just, you know, we're spinning on a sphere, man. You know what I mean? The sphere could easily at one point just go off its axis and we're done, right? So there's really no power, right, in that way, right? And so, but we have this idea, right? So that's sort of the, you know, I know that's a big concept, but I think when you see the show, you get really... You're either just tripping on, wow, how could this guy do like all those voices and all these characters and do that, you know, for an hour and 20 minutes, you know? Or it's like, wow, man, there's so much poetry in it. It's like jazz, you know? That's what I've gotten a lot of, you know, critics will say that. You know, it's like, it's very poetic.
That's really deep.
Yeah, it is. Well, that's the thing, you know, especially now, it's like, I don't have time to entertain. I can entertain you, but in a way where to make you think. And you can do that. I don't need to just entertain you just for the sake of entertainment. That's a very bourgeois idea when you think about it. Like, you know, that's like asking a lot for someone. I go, I'm just going to go pay to get entertained, right?
It's got to be a bigger purpose to it.
It's got to be, at least for me, that's how I see art. For me, that's my opinion, you know? But I think, yeah, I think art it changes people, you know? And I think it moves people in ways and it doesn't have to be a political way, but it can move us in like, how do we see ourselves? And, you know, just little things like that don't have to be these huge things, but I think they're all part of the reason why we're in the predicament we're in now, you know.
Ruben Gonzalez, thanks a lot for coming. It was nice to meet you.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Ruben Gonzalez is an actor and writer. He wrote and stars in the one-man show La Escondida USA, which is at the Herberger Theater Center through February 26th.